It's a good show.
Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace, and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half price bail. I'm happy to say they couldn't make this up. So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Bender, don't be a jerk, cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down.
Stick around, make a sound, hunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
Hey, townies, welcome to another episode of
Dumb People Town.
Dumb People Town.
It's a good echo.
Population you.
Population homes.
We don't know. We're come mama, we're coming homes. That's it. Pete Holmes, honored. Our very, very good friend who we've known and loved for a long time. It's a shame that he is quitting comedy after this
show
tonight. He is announcing his retirement.
Things just didn't work out for him.
I will say that every time I drive by a billboard for your show, I get happy. I get excited.
You guys, ground floor supporters.
From the beginning, from performing with you at Comics in New York.
That makes me sound like a jerk if I go, you were on the ground floor.
No, we came
what
in.
Do I think I am?
I don't
tied?
Think so.
Yeah, no.
You were there way before the pouches that people were eating.
By the way, a friend of ours, a friend of mine, Kirker Butler, phenomenal writer, tremendous writer. I was at a Super Bowl party with him, and he said, how cool would it be if Tide did a Don't Eat the Tide Pods commercial during the Super Bowl. Like, they had an awareness about themselves. Like, they made a funny, hey, don't eat the Tide Pods commercial. I feel like that'd be, I'm like, if that happened, I'm like, I'm Tide all the way.
Yeah, or just fill the Tide Pods with edible stuff. You know, like, we
every third Tide Pod is ranch.
Ranch?
You gotta find out which one.
Why were people eating them?
Because
it supposedly got you high. It got you high.
Did it get you high?
Yes,
people are stupid.
It got you dead.
Well, I love that you asked that question.
Did it kill you?
No,
but this is relevant.
This is so relevant, and we'll get to your wonderful HBO show Crashing and all your wonderful things that you're doing.
That's
later.
What it's called Crashing.
Oh, no. Dan Van Kirk,
you
is
have
Dan.
A computer. You could have Googled it quietly.
I know, but I wanted it to come to me. Old school.
There we go. That's cut it. So no, but you talk about eating Tide Pods. That's just stupid behavior, and this show is called Dumb People Town, and we believe Jason and I and Dan, the three of us, have this idea that the world is getting dumber.
Dumber.
Or dumber's getting louder.
Or dumb and smarter fighting and dumb stronger.
Right.
Winning.
Right.
It's got like dumb
brute
strength.
Dumb brute strength.
Dumb strength.
Like if it were a Jean-Claude Van Damme fight, like smart just had sand thrown in its eyes. And smart is like, what? And dumb's like, yeah, come on.
Dumb takes a roundhouse kick to the
hopefully,
face.
Hopefully. We're waiting for that part.
Well, so we have our wonderful dumb townies, and they're not dumb. They're actually very smart. But our townies who are part of Dumb People Town send us the stories in. Dan gets them. We have not heard them. And we're going to jump into one right away because we have one of my favorite things to do is riff with Pete Holmes, and he is here, and let's go do this.
Let's do it. This was sent in by Chris Frain.
Is this Chris Frain you?
At Len _ Cicada. Two N's in Len.
So Len Cicada was, talk about my mustache looking, and you'll see
baseball
the picture,
player.
Like an old baseball player. Len Cicada played, I believe, a catcher, but he played with the Mets in the early 80s.
I called him Len Cicada.
Len Cicada?
When the cicadas come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the cicadas make those come noises.
You can hear them hitting small baseballs.
Tiny baseballs in the trees.
Tiny foul balls happening.
It's funny. Can you do the sound? Like, we'd all know it if we heard it. Oh, my God.
Thank you, Pete.
I thought for Look sure I was going to be like, this is one of those things. You only know it if you hear it.
Yeah.
You
know, but every 17 years.
You guys did it.
I mean, that to me, for some reason, felt like home. You know, like that's a summer in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You hear that. The next thing you hear is when ice kind of melts a little bit in the pitcher of lemonade.
Oh, yeah.
And so it kind of stirs itself. There's like a softening.
Yeah.
It's so good.
What a specific idea.
Right. The cube hits the side glass of the pitcher.
The condensation rolls down.
Yes.
The sun catches it just for a perfect moment.
It's so cinematic. All right. Cicada.
My kids, by the way, are into doing lemonade stands all the time now, and I'm like, you can't do it that often.
Yeah, because
it's essentially
lemonade
begging my neighbors for money.
It's shaking down the people that you know for money.
Well, you have to restrict the market. Yeah. You need to teach them.
Yeah. Hold it out.
New business.
I quit economics. I quit economics to become a comedian.
I'm going
to
tell them, like diamonds, diamonds are not rare or valuable. You withhold the lemonade, right, then you flood the market, then you withhold, then you flood, then you withhold. De Beers.
That's right.
De Beers. I'm going to read you guys the headline to this, and then we'll get into it because the headline's perfect.
Let's hear it.
Sword-carrying man stripped of blade and attacked with own weapon.
So
he's his own problem.
He brought the issue.
But isn't this the fear of having a weapon in your own house? I'm sure.
Oh, sure.
Do you have a bat in your house or do you have a knife in your house? What do you have in case
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Tell us.
We have a taser that shoots like a gun.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good.
Taser.
Good.
All right.
I saw it in the first Batman, and I was like, I want one of those. And it turns out you can just buy one online.
Yeah. Is your hope,
if you give them cash,
that you have to shoot somebody someday, and as they writhe on the ground, they ask you where you got that. Where did you get those
toys?
No, that's it. Where did you get those
guns?
Wonderful toys.
Yes. I said toys.
No, it was Batman Begins. Batman Begins. Yeah. But yeah,
I couldn't start that movie for some reason.
I couldn't shoot. Have you ever shot a gun?
No.
Yes. Oh, yes, we have.
Like, we have. Shotgun.
The first time I shot a gun at a range, I was like, never could I couldn't point that at a squirrel.
We shot one of those
skeet shooting in Colorado,
like a pump action
rifle, and just like
did
one
you go
shot
flying.
I didn't. It went back into my shoulder, and
it
I was
definitely
super
you went back a little bit, but it was fun to kind of shoot clay pigeons and stuff.
I mean, you shot at targets.
Well, yeah. It was fun, and they were like launched in the air. When you hit one, you felt good.
Yep.
Launch, pull.
Now you're shooting cicadas, babe.
I am not. I couldn't shoot somebody for breaking into my house.
I don't think I could
you
either.
I think when
they were coming after my family, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, do your dads get guns? Do you guys have guns?
I have a baseball bat. When we went and performed
at
the
University. But it's loaded.
The baseball
bat is loaded. The
safety's on. Safety's on.
And we're back to my Madeline mustache. Did you ever perform at the Louisville Improv ever? There.
I've been to Louisville.
Okay, so Louisville Improv.
But not the Improv.
There's the Louisville Slugger Museum, which is one of my favorite museums in the country, and they show you how they make the bats for all the players and stuff. You can go downstairs in the basement, and they have cages, and you can swing with the bat, like Derek Jeter's bat. Right? And so you play a catch with your dad. It's wonderful. So they gave us a bat as like a nice little gift.
They did? Yeah. And you're going to use it to bludgeon your foes?
Yeah. It's right in my opening, so if anybody tries to
break the bat, though, bringing it back to the story, the bat is someone's taking that bat.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The gun, at least, maybe you have a chance,
but
if you stink.
So that's what happened. Sword.
He had a sword.
Sword. The headline's a little confusing because it's a man with a sword.
Mm-hmm. Sword-carrying man.
Sword-carrying man. He's only carrying the sword for the beginning.
That's right.
A
stripped of blade, which makes it sound like some sort of like military ceremony.
Yes.
Stripped of
unless
blade.
He was holding blade, like a DVD of the movie Blade.
Yes.
Stripped of blade.
Well, wait till you.
And the third line is what?
And attacked with own weapon.
And attacked with own
the
weapon.
The headline should be man attacked with his own sword.
Yeah, you're right.
Man attacked with own sword.
I think they had a word count they were trying to find.
We got to get people reading.
The victim, who police say was cut by a samurai sword wielding man in Boulder, I believe.
Colorado?
Was injured with his own weapon. And previously, the guy who owned the sword, he had been arrested. This is what I love. While practicing with the blade outside a hotel last month. He's doing a demo out in front of a goddamn cozy
rest. Why do I imagine that he's married? Honey, I'm just going to go practice my sword, the samurai sword stuff. Don't go by the hotel. Do not go by the hotel.
They don't want you in front of the Ritz-Carlton.
It's a free country.
The guy checking in, he's like, breakfast is from 6 to 9. What's your policy on recreational activities?
Like, what do you mean it's a free country? Like we have like a shuffleboard games. We have games.
If I brought my own.
If you brought your own.
Your own game? Like your own
sword,
board
do you want me to take this sword up to your room? Or
I'm going to.
You're going to hang on to it?
Okay. Just take the bags up, though. I'm going to be out front because it's sunset.
Okay.
And this is the best time to swing my blade.
The reservation's under Highlander.
That's right. Fine. Okay. It should be only one.
That's perfect. Pete Holmes.
Pete Holmes on fire.
FTW.
Cody, spot.
He doesn't want two queen meds. It should be only one.
It should be only one. And not a king.
Cody Scott Parker faces a first degree assault charge, and a woman in his company, that's they do not, which means somebody's like, I am not his girlfriend.
That's when we broke up.
Right. Unless he's the CEO of a small company and she works in like accounting.
Sure.
Like she definitely, as the cops were questioning her, used the phrase, not anymore.
Exactly. Anita Urban, that's the woman who's with Cody Scott Parker.
To me, sounds like a character.
Anita Urban. Yeah. That's when the cop goes, look, you don't have to tell me your name, but don't give me a fake name. Right.
No, to me, that is like a drag queen.
Anita Urban.
Who's like a black woman.
Yeah, of course. Nobody was picturing a Korean woman. When they went, ladies and gentlemen, Anita Urban.
No, but it's the worst drag. No, it's Anita Urban, who is a black woman who dresses like Keith Urban. Yeah. But when you look at Keith Urban, he himself looks like a woman, so it just looks like they're doing a bad job doing drag.
Gorgeous. I would also offer, it sounds like Tom Selleck goes undercover as a black woman.
Yeah.
Or he goes through some sort of process that was out of his control.
Yeah.
And he looks at himself and he's like, oh no, I can't blow my cover. And someone goes, what's your name? And he goes, Anita. And they're like, what's your last name? And he's like, Urban.
Racist.
Is it?
I don't know.
Urban. In our world, Urban means black. Urban comedy night is black.
Urban.
Anita Urban, she faces a conspiracy charge after police say Parker, that's Cody Scott, CSP.
Mm-hmm. CSP.
Police say Parker cut Christopher DeSau on his hand. According to the arrest affidavit, DeSau told police he was walking on the 1400 block of Canyon Boulevard around 3:30 p.m. Wednesday.
3:30 in the p.m.
Yeah. 3:30 in the p.m.
When shit goes down.
So a lot of alcohol is
the witching
involved.
Hour.
Can we just say, without you even reading the rest, we know what happened. This Cody,
CSP
is not swooshing and swiping at this man. He's kind of like goading. I bet it's a goad.
Yeah.
And then the guy is taking it with his hand.
Yeah. Right.
And he's going, just, like, get this out of my, like calling his bluff. And then he pulled back.
And sliced him on the hand.
You are on point for dumb people.
He just knows. That is so good.
I know my people.
Christopher DeSalle was walking on the 1400 block around 3:30 p.m. Wednesday with his katana-style sword strapped to his back, the way officers had instructed him to carry the blade legally after his arrest in January.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So they were like, you can keep the you have to carry it on your back.
But I can't strap it to my shell?
No.
But what if I wear this bandana?
No.
Whoa, check out this move.
No, that's...
He's out of arguments and he just says, check out this move.
The moves are fine. You can do the moves.
The move is great. The move is actually great, but you have to put it on your
seat. I want ice cream on my pizza.
Well, that's up to you. You're an adult.
I was taught how to use it by a rat.
Easy, Michelangelo.
Great. That's great.
Easy.
Put it on your back. And why is he breathing so hard?
He's really breathing hard.
No, that was the blade going through the air.
And then in the background, here.
In that case, DeSau.
How are bugs doing that? I can barely do that.
The wings. In that case, DeSau.
Rubbing the legs together.
DeSau is facing a charge of carrying a concealed weapon. That's when they taught him how to carry his sword properly. Mm-hmm. Plus, he was also carrying knives at the time. So I'm going to show you a picture of Christopher DeSau.
Definitely boot knives.
there he is.
Yeah, by the way. And he has a look on his face like, excuse me?
Right.
Here's the thing.
Where is this, by the way?
Boulder, Colorado.
Because I was walking down the street right here in Los Angeles and saw a guy who had the trench coat and the sword like blade coming out of the middle of his shirt. I was like, do you call the cops?
Yeah. Some of those are umbrellas.
No.
Are they really?
Yes.
They're made to look like swords, samurai sword, but it's really an umbrella.
Yes.
And what better place to use an umbrella than in Los Angeles?
I agree. Yesterday. Cody Scott Parker, here's your winner, guys.
Oh, no.
So it looks like...
I crossed the street if that guy's walking.
They both look like different people who've waited on me at a Verizon store.
That dude's never going to walk towards you. He's going to like stalk towards
you. That's right.
He's going to move.
Too long of a step.
So Cody Scott Parker is not holding the samurai sword.
No, DeSau. It's DeSau. Chris DeSau told police he felt someone tugging on the sword and turned around to find Parker had pulled it away from him. He's not good with his own sword.
Yeah,
somebody tugging on your sword.
Yeah.
DeSau said Parker told him, you got my, mute for the kids, you got my fucking old lady jumped, and then said, I'll fucking kill you. This is what Cody Scott Parker told.
Okay.
Now, I'm not in favor of this, but...
Oh, wait, you got her jumped, like you're scaring my girl?
I guess,
I don't know.
He was
like, pardon me, sir, your blade is frightening my lady, and I will disarm you.
That's what he was saying. I think they have some sort of previous incident between the two of them.
She definitely, again, in the fray, said, I'm not that old. Like, she's trying to kind of lay it a minute.
She's going
to
come out on top in this one. According to Urban?
According to the affidavit, Christopher DeSalle said that Cody Scott Parker then stepped towards him and hit him with the sword in the upper thigh, but the blade only caught on his clothing.
Yeah.
Not a good blade.
That
not a good blade.
Right.
And not a good swing, by the way. Not a great swing.
Right.
But had it been a great swing, would we be making fun of this story
right
now?
No. Because he'd have no leg below the knee.
Yeah. Also, yeah, that's true. But he brought a sword to his own sword victimization.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So kind of part of me is like, live by the public sword, die by the public sword. DeSalle said he kept stepping back, but Parker followed him. Parker then raised the sword. And here we go, Pete Holmes. Christopher DeSalle tried to catch it.
Yeah,
according to the affidavit, resulting in a large gash.
You got to clap it. You can't
one-hand it.
Don't
you got to clap it.
Clap it.
Clap it.
Clap it and then turn away, like rotate with the clap to the side. That's how you want to go.
Or you know what? Cut your losses.
Yeah. Right.
And run.
And run.
Be like, you now have the sword.
This is your sword.
This is strangely how I got it.
Pass it on to someone else.
It's like a chain letter.
Or a chain letter.
Christopher
a terrible chain letter.
DeSalle told police that Parker started running after he cut DeSalle's hand. Parker started running and met up with a woman later identified as Anita Urban, who told Parker, "Baby, take the bike, get out of here." To which Parker replied, "Baby, it's not a bike, it's a chopper."
I love how
get
much
they're
joking. I just saw that both those statements made it into a news article.
Oh, she keeps going.
Where's Zev?
You ready?
Zev's hand is cut, baby. Zev's hand is cut.
Zev's hand
Listen
is red.
Listen to this. This is what Anita told him. "Baby, take the bike, get out of here. You did what I told you to do." So she is the mastermind.
She is the on top.
Oh,
do what I told you to do.
Anita Applebaum.
Oh, you got to put me on, Anita
Urban.
You got to put me on.
Anita Urban reportedly had gotten into an argument a few weeks ago with Christopher DeSalle's fiance that resulted in police being called. Christopher DeSalle told officers that Anita Urban made up a story that got his fiance cited. I have no clue what that means.
So this now goes deeper. So these people know each other.
There's a TV show called NBA Wives. There should be a TV show called Samurai Wives.
Samurai Wives.
And these guys should be in.
I believe that's how Westworld ended.
Yeah.
Don't tell me. I haven't seen it yet.
Come on.
We all watch less TV.
That riff has a mild spoiler in it. Not really. It's not a spoiler to you.
To people who are in the know. People who are.
And if you already know, then you know.
Then you know.
People who are three episodes away, you're in trouble.
We're going to get out of here on
if
this.
If you're three episodes away from the end of Westworld right now, you deserve to be spoiled.
Yeah.
Right? Am I right?
True. I agree.
You've gone too long. Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Because believe it or not, we have video.
No.
Of Christopher DeSalle and Cody Scott Parker going at it.
No.
There it is.
Oh my God. Whoa, he grabbed it.
Wow.
Look at these two. I'm going to post this up on the Facebook
page. This is crazy.
What did you get to the car yet where the car's like, I am out of here.
Car backing up.
There's a car that's car just like.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's a Nissan commercial.
Yeah, that is.
Nissan.
Get out when shit gets
real. Yeah. Just peel out. I didn't even have to see it. Like, I knew.
You knew what it was.
It's kind of like a category of like homeless fight.
Yes,
you know
when
you see like slow motion homeless fights?
Yes.
Yeah, where you like, you know things are bad, but it's not that bad. Anytime, like, if someone takes out nunchucks and they're like, I'm gonna fuck you up, nobody's gonna die,
you know, but, like, they were all wearing gloves, so it's the winter time and it's in Colorado, they're wearing gloves, so he grabbed the thing with a glove on, so he thought, all right, I'm gonna be fine, these gloves will, no, they don't.
Nope. Okay. Not blade proof.
Nope.
I'm gonna ask you guys right now.
Okay. They're now fingerless gloves.
This is the final thing.
It's what Andrew Dice Clay is wearing on stage.
26.
Funny story. I was in Boulder.
26.
It's not a story, nor is it funny.
38. 26. 38. 35. Tell me whose age is who.
Okay.
Oh, I thought those were Anita's measurements.
You are a guest, so you can go first, Tig, or third.
Tig is in the middle of me and Jason.
You can tell me, it's Cody Scott Parker, Christopher DeSalle, Anita Urban, who is 26, who is 38, who is 35. You can go first, second, or third.
I want to go first.
Okay.
The woman is 26. Don't tell me till the end.
I won't. No, they've got a guess, too.
Okay. The woman is 26.
Okay.
The guy who got his hand cut is
That's
the oldest.
DeSau, okay.
And the second oldest is the guy with the sword.
35. Okay. All right, so okay. DeSau's 38, and then he's the guy's 35. Right?
Yep.
I think the woman's 38. She's the mastermind of this one.
Okay.
Younger man.
Anita!
She's in her sexual prime.
I think DeSau is the guy who got his hand cut is 35.
Okay.
And I think the other guy is 20.
Cody Scott Parker?
Cody Scott Parker is 26.
Okay. Oh, yep. My God.
Yeah, because I think
practically a teenage right, mutant ninja turtle.
Literally. So she
Millennial is, mutant.
She's robbing the cradle of sorts.
I just want to stay in my shell and smoke.
No, dude. I just got to get on Tinder for one more minute. She is 36.
Okay.
Her old but man.
There's no 36. You mean 35?
35. Okay. Her old man is 38.
Cody Scott Parker.
Cody Scott Parker. Okay. And agree with Randy that young Verizon store.
Well, no, I disagree. You think you?
He
you,
said Christopher DeSau.
I think Christopher DeSau is 35.
So
I think
you're saying Cody Scott Parker is 26?
Yes.
Okay.
Cody Scott Parker is 26.
Okay.
And DeSau is 38.
Okay.
Okay.
And the woman's 35. 36.
Okay.
Okay. And you said the woman was the youngest.
Yeah, she's
okay,
the baby.
Okay, so now we have three different.
I know
things.
We do.
Oh my God!
All right, here we go. Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
When it comes to the sword-wielding man who had his sword taken from
this
him.
Is very exciting. We've made meaning.
Okay, so now, and everybody, this is the best part, Pete, is that everyone at home who is listening to this
or
wherever
they
are,
they're in their
car, they're logging their guesses. They're yelling at whatever device they're listening to it on. Let's hear it.
This Christopher DeSau is.
You ready?
35 years old.
Oh! Christopher DeSau is
right.
The one who got
Cody
his
Scott
hand.
Parker.
I was right.
Cody Scott Parker, 26.
Oh!
Is 38.
Oh,
wow.
My
Randy.
God.
Randy,
Anita.
You nailed it.
Oh, my
because
God.
Because I was like, this woman, she first of all, she kept on calling her new boyfriend baby, which, like, yeah. He is 10 years younger than her. He is essentially a baby.
Sure. Right.
And baby. Then she said, you did what I told you to do.
You did what I told
yeah.
you to do.
Yeah, she's got mastermind.
She's mm-hmm. organizing this whole thing. I kind of love it.
38-year-old woman.
That's story one, guys.
This love could it. Be, like, the new, I mean, I know Tarantino's in the news now for forcing Uma Thurman to, like, crash into a tree. But,
he
like,
is?
This could, yeah. Did you haven't seen that?
No.
Heard that thing? Oh, my God. This is all this terrible
we'll
video.
We'll tell you in the break.
Ooh. Yeah, we'll tell you in the break. But I mean, maybe this is Kill Bill part 3 and part 4? Could this
yeah,
be
this
it?
Could
like,
be
she's
it.
The one who's causing these, like, could knife be. Fights to happen.
Anita Urban is a name of a character in a Tarantino film, though, correct?
Yeah.
I mean,
totally
doesn't that feel like that
one,
could be?
Played sure. by Lucy Liu.
Yes.
All right, guys. Story one down. Pete Holmes, the great Pete Holmes, is with us. There's more Dumb People Town right on the other side of this here break.
DPT.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We got Pete Holmes. If you have not listened to You Made It Weird, I'm going to make you do that right now. Subscribe to that podcast. It is wonderful. It's fascinating.
Yeah, tell if you want to cry in a plane, just listen to the June Diane Raphael episode and let it all out.
Oh, yeah.
That, that happened to me flying to, I think, Madison.
Oh, my God. One
Pete,
of the
are
few,
you?
We call that a hand holder, where I'm holding
was.
The guest's
Well, no,
hand.
The best Pete is, no, the best Pete is, there's a point in that episode where you go, I don't know if I should touch you or not. Like you were like then,
yes.
then you did like hold her hand. It was so
you
good.
Know because you don't know what to do.
I know.
We don't live
give...
in a hanky culture anymore.
I
like
know.
You hand people hankies,
no.
you light cigarettes.
We don't
you hold
live
hands,
in a hanky
you have
culture.
To be like, can I hold your hand?
That's what I love about you, Pete. You
jumped right to hankies.
Well, no, but so, you the way you turn a phrase. We were on stage at your show at Largo, or we were standing backstage listening to you, and you were talking about Tom Selleck, being on a plane with Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
And I think you were saying, like, this is something we did, or I forgot what the
this
phrase.
Is something that happened in a room. With air.
Yeah.
Which is just, we looked at Dave Rath and we were like, that's genius.
That's the funniest
I love that
phrase ever. Like the three of us, and we all kind of had a moment of being that's so funny. And then we waited for a second and then we all busted out laughing. But it was so funny.
I like
to watch
reminding
you work.
People that it was in reality.
In
yes,
reality.
But that's
it
a great
happened
way to
in a room with air in it.
That
we were like, alive.
That was the thing that let everybody know this is really.
We were breathing.
That was your pinch me moment.
Yeah.
Well, what I, again, you know, I don't listen to a ton of other podcasts. Sometimes it's hard for me to.
Sure. What do I work for you?
Right.
You know what I mean?
But
hey, a new Savage Lovecast is up. What do I work for you?
Exactly. But we, but
I, like
I listen
Savage
to your,
Podcast.
I know me too, but I listen to your podcast as a means of escape of lots of things.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I listen to you on 1.5 speed.
You do?
Yes. And you're
you can
very
handle
quick.
It.
You're
you can
very,
handle it.
I can handle it.
Wow.
I can't handle
but
it.
But it helps me get through the episode because your episodes are a little
yeah,
longer, but but it like
people like the long, but yeah,
I love the long.
People love the long,
but I'm telling you, 1.5 speed is kind of amazing because
one and a half sounds like somebody you're grabbing a blade and then they pull it away.
It sounds like you guys all did cocaine and then did the show.
And then did the show. We're like, we're getting into this.
I'm gonna try that.
It is a great thing. Obviously, watch the HBO show Crashing.
So good.
I have one crashing question for you.
HBO's Crashers sitting here with Pat Helms. Yes. Pat Helms. We understand Crashers is on Showtime.
So you guys just crash parties, right? It's like wedding crashers.
No. You guys are crashing it. But the want to ask, because it is so close to you, and for you to be around current people who are doing what they're doing, but then have to jump back as a comedian to a time in your early development.
Yeah.
Must be. Is there like a moment on stage where you're like, it's got to be so surreal? And there's a moment on stage where you're like, okay, I know what I need to do to make this crowd laugh. And really, you got to kind of play it to a different. I don't think people realize how difficult that is because you, in your brain, you're here.
You want to do it. You want to hit the baseball. Mm-hmm. And you have to. And
you have to show. You have to take.
You have to show how many times you swung and missed on the way to being able to.
There's a lot of bombing. And what's funny is your body and your brain have no idea it's pretend.
Right.
Because there's 300 extras there and you're like, oh, and like we don't even tell them to not laugh. I just kind of do badly.
Yeah,
it's easy to do badly, but it hurts.
It
so
is, but
much.
No, because your whole thing of so we went and did that show with you at Largo, and there is nothing in your body or brain saying I want to go up there and do badly.
Yeah.
All you want to do is like give people the experience that they can have them walk out lighter than air. You know,
and you're up there and you're doing badly, and it's your show, and they know it's your show, and even though I think they know it's in the script that my character is supposed to do badly, they look at you differently.
They do.
You've lost them.
You've lost them.
I'll put it this way. Like, my character is so low status. Like, Joy Behar was one of the guests, and she was wonderful. But, like, she rightly could sense that, like, I wasn't in charge because I was just, like, this meek, like, thanks for doing the show. Yeah. I think she thought I was a PA or something. She didn't even really turn
Tommy
to me.
Tommy Davidson, when we opened up for him in Anchorage, Alaska, and he showed up 10 minutes after we got off stage, so there was just a 10-minute break that the audience didn't anticipate.
We looked so low status that his manager came over to us.
We said we'd like to meet Tommy. He's like, yeah, listen, Tommy need more ham on the ham plate.
We were so low. His manager thought we were the students at the University of Alaska who brought Tommy there.
Toothpick in his
Tommy's
mouth.
Tommy's going to need
more ham on the ham plate.
I know we already have a ham plate, but we're going to need more ham on the ham plate.
And I was like, who's that for? Is that for Tommy or is that for you?
Because you have a ham plate feel. If I'm being honest, you feel ham plate to me.
Even though you are wearing an African-style hat.
And you look like Jim Brown, the running back from the Hall of Fame.
Now activist. Someone who probably
from the Dirty Dozen,
like a Muslim who wouldn't eat meat.
Yeah. You look like you might not fuck
Tommy
with swine.
But the idea that like you have, I don't think people understand how difficult that is.
It was
play
really,
the
really
lower
painful.
Status in this show, which you do so beautifully. I mean, just
and then like Bill Burr would go up and kill.
Right,
and I'd be like, no, it really brought me back.
Right, it brings you back.
We want to make a show about how hard it is to start in stand-up, and I get a lot of feedback from comics that are like, oh, you're doing it properly.
Agreed.
Because there have been a lot of, thank you.
Agreed.
There are a lot of shows about stand-ups, but no show about like what it's like to start. So my character is always, I joke, it's called Crashing, Not Flourishing.
Yeah.
As soon as he starts flourishing, it turns into a different show. It becomes more like Entourage, you know.
Well,
which I don't know if you know anyone that was on that.
We know a couple of people.
No, fun show, but different show. This is about the struggle.
And whenever anybody comes up to you who's like a new comic or somebody who wants to do comedy and says, what do I need to do what you're doing?
Yeah.
I immediately say, you need 10 years.
Yeah.
Do you
I
have
know.
10 years in your
and
life that you're willing
to
invest? That's exactly
what
it is.
We want
to
make the show about the 10 years. Most shows start at the end of those 10 years.
Yeah. You want to show the way up and the mistakes that people make and the tiny bit of success you...
Yes.
You know, I don't want to give anything away, but like you help
and
write
even
it.
Even the success and how your friends hate you for it and
hate
the dealing with that.
Dealing with that or even like getting to hang out with the... with Bill Burr as your character in the thing, what that means when you get invited into the circle of someone
and
that
even
you...
Even telling my friend Henry Zabrowski, who's on the show, that I'm hanging out with Bill Burr and how mad he is that I'm hanging out with Bill Burr. That is what it feels like to start in stand-up. It's like, Dimitri Martin, talk to you!
Well, so
what?
We...
I have to remind myself that all the time. Like, I reminded myself when I met you guys... Obviously, I still revere you, but I was like, holy shit!
I mean,
ring the bell! Well, and I'm not saying I've demoted you. I've gotten used to having show business friends.
We become friends in that way. So,
and most of our friends have done things, but when you're young and you meet you guys, huge deal.
That's so nice.
Love.
Love you too. And well, so can I just say this? We were in New York for one day to shoot Dr. Oz, who was on your show.
Mehmet?
Fantastic.
Yes.
Dr. Oz. And we did just for this poop documentary, of which you are amazing in, which had come. It's already out when this episode drops. It's out. We want you guys to see. It's called Poop Talk.
But
we were there. It drops. So we were there in New York and we flew in and landed at 11:30, got in our car, went to the hotel, and we're like, let's go down to the cellar. Let's just go down to the cellar. I don't know if it's, maybe we can get on stage. I have no idea, but let's just go down. We go down. It winds up that we couldn't get on stage because Godfrey was just ending at that moment. And it actually would not have been great for us to get up at that point after the show was over. But who's standing up? Is standing outside upstairs, like just
in the stairwell
right above the stairs that go down in the cellar. But Dave Attell, now Attell for us, for years and years and years, someone that, you know, and still someone we look up to and love much in that same way, revere. And we just sat around and shot the shit with him and made each other laugh and hung out. And even though we didn't go up and do a set that night, and we've worked with
him. You were still in comedy.
We were in comedy.
You were in show business that night, baby.
We had a moment of hanging out at the cellar with Attell. And to me, I was like, that's why we came down here.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's what my character's trying to do. I would do that with no credits, no respect whatsoever. And that's what we're trying to show on the show.
But you do it. You're doing it. I'm saying it's like it's a fucking high wire act. Yeah. And you're doing it on the show.
Can I tell you that a lot of people, when I'm in New York, come up to me, and by a lot, I mean three, there were like two or three, would come up to me and be like, I'm homeless. Mm. I moved here because of crashing.
Wow. You're like, no.
That's not on me.
That's on you. That is on you.
That's on you and your family structure.
Did you have a moment where you're like, how are you getting your HBO?
Yeah, that is
HBO
hilarious.
Go or what's that?
Yeah, it's a crazy question.
Are you watching on HBO Go find
home?
An apartment?
Go home. Go back home. You need to HBO Go home. But that is what I would tell them, and I'm actually happy to get that out there. While I feel for my people and the urgency that we all want to, like, I got to get to the city, I got to start doing stand-up now, the premise of our show is funny because it's a terrible idea. Don't move to New York and be homeless.
Yeah, do you tell those people, like, hey, just, you know, I was in Chicago for a good chunk of time before I came here and then started over again.
And then had an apartment.
No credits transferred. I had to come here and do, but except that you had the body of work that you have done, so you walk with like a suitcase full of jokes and you kind of come in. But
it's good to start in a city where there isn't a lot of show business.
Fail in the darkness.
We didn't do that.
We didn't do that.
We started in New York.
We kind of did. We started
and
in St. Louis.
You can feel
it
in your act.
I know.
No, I'm kidding. It's good to be anonymous for a while.
I agree. Let's jump into another story because then I want to talk about the poop doc later with the great
poop doc.
Sent in by Kimberly Thompson at Kimatron722.
Mm-hmm. Kimatron.
A Scottish farmer frantically called police to report a tiger in his cow shed, sparking an armed police standoff.
A tiger in my cow shed feels like, right?
That's
like
a Dr. Phil. Is this a parable?
Yeah.
Is this about faith?
It feels like Dr. Phil, like what Dr. Phil would tell a couple.
You got yourself
a tiger in the chicken shed. And until you learn to love you and the person in the mirror, you and your grandma aren't going to be able to talk to one another.
Wait a minute. What? Philip, what did you just... by the way, it's not the life of pie. It is an Irishman. It is the life of shepherd.
It's like a
shepherd's
bottle
pie.
Shepherd's pie! Shepherd's pie! Shepherd's pie! That is so good.
The life of shepherd's pie.
That was like
at
finding
Sklar
out.
Brothers.
I don't know that something's a dessert. I was gonna say finding out a gold coin is a chocolate gold coin, but it sounded anti-Semitic.
Sure. It's fine.
It's like finding out these potato pancakes have been fried.
Yes.
They're actually good.
They are very good.
So a Scottish farmer called cops to report a tiger in his cow shed, sparking an armed police standoff, only to learn it was a large stuffed animal.
Wow.
And I don't know if you remember the part where I said a police standoff. Bruce.
Wow.
This is also...
Tiger's not moving. What are we doing here?
He's going to move.
He is tracking us.
Right?
Look at his focus.
And the thing is, and you know somebody who claimed to be a tiger expert is like, the thing is you have to be worried about them when they don't move.
Yeah.
That's the point at which they're going
to
come at us.
That's right before they attack, Dave.
The last thing you see...
Randy, that is your part in this movie. And you're wearing that hat and you have that mustache.
I'm like,
and you have those earphones because you been listening to him.
This is a stakeout.
And then someone's like, the last thing you see before he attacks you is his tag coming out of his leg.
FAO, my God, trust. That doesn't work. FAO, my God.
FAO shit.
FAO shit.
The name of this farmer is so perfect for Dumb People Town. Bruce Grubb.
Bruce Grubb
was throwing a housewarming party when he left his guests and girlfriend while he popped to the shed to check on his 200 pregnant cows.
Gonna make sure there's no tiger in the shed.
You do this every night!
Well, the time it's there, Karen.
Then who's gonna be laughing? You know, also, he was at a party, he went out to the shed to fart. Am I right?
That's literally gonna cut him with the ladies who don't mind.
200 pregnant cows. They're all pregnant at the same time?
Yeah. Well, they have
Tis the season.
They have to be. What
was James Franco in there?
I love James Franco. I mean, I don't love what he did to women.
Quote.
You guys were in a fun
We qualified
there.
So hard. Yeah,
like, we love him, but, you know, it's an important time to listen, but we love him. Great movie, but, you know.
But I don't support.
Yeah, we get it.
Oh, hi, Mark. Quote, I was on duty because the cows could drop at any time, so I wasn't drinking. I flashed my torch. Coolest name for a flashlight?
Yeah.
I flashed my torch in the shed and saw it sitting there. I was stone cold sober. Drink had nothing to do with me thinking it was real. Now, I feel a bit silly for calling the police, but I thought it was a real emergency. He told the Scottish Sun, I had absolutely no doubt it was real. I got a hell of a scare.
All right. How many tigers are running around the Irish countryside?
Scottish. Because the number's big difference.
I'm sorry.
My favorite mug at my in-law's house taught me that there are no tigers in Africa, only India.
Oh,
that's true.
So
that's true.
You can't even see him in Africa. It would be silly if this man were in the
Bruce ran back to the cottage.
Yeah.
Bruce ran back to the cottage and called police, and he claims the first officer on the scene was just as convinced as he was that the tiger was real.
He was drunk.
This is what I love.
The officer was drunk. The officer was wasted.
Wait for it. The frightened farmer said the first officer to respond on the scene was so scared.
By the way, the frightened farmer to me sounds like the Scottish farm to table restaurant that's like only has three tables
in
it.
Would you like the shaky eggs? Would you like the trembling meatloaf?
The frightened farmer said the first officer.
I'd like a quivering quiche.
To respond one. To the scene. Was so scared that, quote, he refused to get out of his squad car or even wind the windows down. He didn't want to go anywhere near it because he thought it was. So imagine he's in a car. And the cop, he's like, officer, could you get out and help me with this?
No.
Sir, I can't.
What do I look like?
A cop.
A safe cop. A living cop.
You responded to the call.
Sir, do not get in the way of police protocol.
He has a horn. A horn would remedy the situation.
A horn would absolutely
get in there with lights
siren.
And sound and that tiger's like truce.
That's it.
Right.
Truce
or nothing, and because it will do nothing.
Yeah, it will do nothing because it's nothing.
Photographs of the said tiger were sent to the control room, and an expert sergeant confirmed it was definitely real. So now a guy back at the police station looked at a photo somebody took on their phone and was
that's
like,
"That's real."
Is there a tiger guy back at the office?
Yeah, get him on there. Expert and check sergeant.
Yeah. I put it in that app that tells you what painting it looks like, and it was a painting of a tiger.
Okay, good.
So that's 100% match.
Yep.
Move.
And the guy does that little two-finger come along with me.
And, it was the one day the officer with the fingerless gloves and the sniper rifle and the backwards hat took off.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Today. Today. I'm all fucking dice. You're shitting me right now. You're fucking shitting me. And I fucking knew it too. I fucking knew it.
Of course, he's visiting Scotland.
Yeah, he's from Ireland.
He knew it.
Is better.
Wales is better.
That's just great.
Wales
that's
is
just
better.
Fucking great.
Yeah, he could talk like this. And, the frightened farmer says he wouldn't get out of his car. Photographs were sent to the expert sergeant, which I love. Cue numerous units, including three armed response teams and a dog handler, being sent to the farm to tackle a beast. In my mind, no one has told the party any of this.
Of course not.
All raging. Where? And out by the barn.
Yes.
You just see, I'm blue.
I still love it.
faintly in the background, you hear, I get knocked down. Yeah.
We're so on brand.
I am the tiger. I don't know. Of all times!
Of all times to play that song.
Northeast police even checked a local wildfire park to see if they had an escaped tiger on the loose. After armed cops engaged in a long standoff, they realized the police...
Yeah, that standoff ends when you stop.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
We can end this now. We can do it the hard way or the easy way. Easy way is us just leaving. End of standoff.
You have a lot to live for. Think of the treats. No one here wants to see you be a rug today, okay? Let's call your cubs. What are they, cubs?
I'm telling you, he's not moving because he is ready to kill.
That's what they do.
I'm telling you, that's when you want to worry. It's when they're not moving. It's so funny. I wanted to say it again.
Yes,
I knew it wasn't new. That's the riff of this whole story.
After the cops engaged in a standoff, they realized the supposedly terrifying beast was just a big plush toy. I'm going to ask you guys now, Pete, first, Tig, or third, how long was the standoff that the cops had with
this is so the good.
Tiger? It's raining, man. He's been gone. Grub's been long gone for a while.
Yeah, where's Grub?
He likes it up there, Bruce.
I love these flashing blue and red lights you guys have.
The cicadas. The cicadas.
The cicadas came. Cicadas.
You know the cicadas.
I'm going to say the standoff. I can say any number.
Yeah. Any number of minutes.
I'm going to say it was 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
3 hours.
That's too long. I think it was 45 minutes.
45 minutes. Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to say an hour and a half.
An hour and a half.
It went in between.
Because I
Are you like... Oreo cream over there? Because you in between.
Yes, I am. We're doubles.
Is that Anita Urban?
Are you Oreo cream?
Anita Urban.
You did just what I told you to, baby.
I shouldn't be fucking with this woman.
No. We love you, Anita.
Anita. You pull all the strings.
Well, today was already a special episode because we're having so much fun, but it even got a little more specialer.
Because someone got it on the nose.
Because one of you three is exactly
it
right.
May be. By the way, this is a small Scottish town. Could be any
it
one of us.
Could be Pete. Three hours is not a long time to them.
No.
They don't have Keurigs.
Now we're going to have a new...
They're boiling water and grinding beans.
I'm adding a new wrinkle to this game when somebody gets it exactly right. Pete, who do you think is exactly right?
I love this sort of stuff. Because mathematically, I was probably wrong. Because I went first.
Were you probably one of you?
But you don't know. You don't know. Who do you think was right?
If I say myself,
No, it's okay.
I'm the king.
No, you are the king of yourself.
If I say myself and it is me,
you're the king.
I'm the king.
That's a drop the mic moment.
You win this episode. I become King Ralph, specifically.
You win. Mm-hmm.
I'm
eating
ham off the bone.
Yeah.
I think.
How many more ham on his ham bone?
I think it was. I think it was Randy. It was an hour and a half.
Okay. All right. Jason Sklar.
I think it was Randy, too.
Okay. Randy?
I think it was Pete. I really think it was him. I think 3 hours.
Okay. Everybody playing along at home, get your answers in now. How long was the standoff between the toy tiger and the cops and Bruce Grubb? The standoff lasted 45 minutes.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, that's how little confidence I have in myself. This is an exercise in how the three of us don't believe in Jason.
Yeah, that's
including
true.
Including Jason himself.
You got to know that we don't trust you.
we don't trust your decision making.
You know, it just seemed a little too prudent.
Yeah, it seemed a little
I thought it was going to be like wacky.
I usually guess way over in these moments.
I know, I think.
I had 12 hours on some other crazy thing that didn't happen, so
We know who cracked the... Go ahead.
I went low on this one and that, and suddenly I'm right. Jay, you went low, and everybody else went
high. When I go low, they go high.
The person who cracked the case... Bruce Grubb. He says, as time went on, it wasn't moving. I started to think it wasn't real. I got in my truck and drove right up to it with my truck, and that's when I knew it was a toy. Which means all the cops were like, hey, man, if you want to go figure this out,
go ahead.
Hey, we're just trained officers in gear with weapons, but if you and your truck want to go take on a tiger.
I know Pete Holmes. If Pete were Bruce Grubb, Pete would have come out with the tiger on top of him like it was mauling him.
Like, oh, my God!
And then he would realize very quickly that he made a mistake when they started to shoot at him.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say put it over my shoulders. Like,
that's what I pictured.
Like Jesus with a lamb.
Guys, he's friendly.
I have tamed him and I'm your God now. No follow-up questions.
He's going up to the party, guys.
It's raining, man. I am glad that the only way that could be better is if they shot it. and like a puff of comical like cotton filling.
That motherfucker didn't even move.
That's when you gotta worry is when you shoot it and it doesn't
move.
This thing is like unbelievable. It's like a super tiger.
But honking and lights would have solved.
I know.
This. And they let Grubb do it.
They
himself?
Said at one point, this wasn't in here, but I read it there. At one point, they swore they that they saw its ears flickering, like it's moving its ears.
They let Grubb do it himself.
It's unclear how the toy got in the shed. This is my favorite part. They determined that there was no harm done. The false call was made with genuine good intent, said the police officers. Mm-hmm. And my favorite thing, we'll get out of here on this. The cops even asked an embarrassed Bruce Grubb before sending it back to his party if they could keep the stuffed tiger as a mascot.
And what did Bruce and Bruce Grubb said no.
No,
said you keep it as long as this story doesn't get out to the world.
Certainly not with my name, Bruce Grubb.
Farmer from Scotland, the Frightened Farmer. That should be his new thing and that should be on his crest, the Frightened Farmer. All right, that's it. Story two, down in the books. Pete Holmes with us.
We got one more little story left.
Dan, tease us. What are we going to be catching on the other side of the break?
We have a cereal fight.
Okay.
Cereal fight.
It's either a fight that happens all the time or an actual fight with cereal.
A fight over the podcast cereal. That would be fantastic.
Finally lucky it had it. Those are my lucky charms.
We don't know. Maybe. You got to stay with us. Stay with us, Pete Holmes, right after the break. All right, welcome back to Dumb People Town. Daniel Van Kirk, follow him. He's a great follow on Twitter. Peter Holmes on Twitter, at Pete Holmes.
Drop that R.
Pete, I think of you all the time. I think you even tweeted this once, and you said something like, I get an anxiety. It pains me to death to watch someone put their phone in their pocket unlocked.
Yes.
Yeah, you did that. You said
and
that to me the other day.
Randy did it like a he'll put his phone in his pocket with his.
I feel the same level of anxiety as I see a baby carrier on the roof of an SUV. But more could go wrong.
That's right. More
with
could
your
go
phone.
Wrong.
With your phone.
About to Postmates three bags of mulch.
Randy goes, I told Randy,
lock
I was like,
don't.
I go, your phone is unlocked in your pocket. And Randy's like, oh, you afraid I might call somebody? I go, Anything could happen.
You could order.
I actually think you have pocket dialed me.
I probably have pocket dialed you. I'm sure I have.
There's a lock feature, and it feels good to lock.
You're absolutely right.
If you have the sound on, it goes.
It feels awesome. Good.
I love it.
You know what else feels good? Our new movie about poop, which is in theaters right now. It's called Poop Talk. And Pete Holmes.
Can I tell you?
You are so good in this movie. First of all, thank you for when we called you, not saying I don't want to be friends with you again, but saying I absolutely will do this, making time for us. And then delivering what I consider to be, as we were cutting this movie and putting it together, again, this is so perfectly you. And everyone showed up in great ways. Like, Cordry was the most Cordry he could be.
Right.
And you were the most you could be. Kumail was the most Kumail he could be.
Non-Johnny.
Jamie Lee, the most Jamie Lee she could be. It was, everybody really rose to the surface in such a great, Swartzen was hilarious.
We were a bunch of floaters.
Yes, literally.
You gave like a philosophy to, and we're talking about the philosophy of comedians and how we are alpha men and women.
Yeah.
However, alpha because we reveal all the inner vulnerabilities that we have.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating stuff. So fans of yours will absolutely love you in this movie.
Oh, I appreciate it. And it's called?
It's called Poop Talk. It's available. It's in theaters in 10 cities right now. And I think we made ads for all those where it's going to be. But it's in LA and New York and Cleveland and Atlanta and Detroit.
This is your chance.
All the shit cities.
Yes, all the shit cities. I think Trump called them shitholes.
Yeah.
Look, this is your chance. You already support independent art by listening to podcasts. So you're that kind of person already. This is your chance to support independent.
If half the people who listen to this podcast went out and saw this movie or got it on video on demand, or you can get it on iTunes or Amazon.
Is that what VOD stands for?
VOD.
Just you have a computer in your pocket.
And it's unlocked.
It's unlocked. Pete Holmes. I'm making my plea because you're here and you were so good and I hope you had fun doing it.
I had a great time doing it. That's like the last shoot I did in my house. Then I was like, no more, because you guys were great and you were minimal. Have you ever agreed to a shoot in your house and you show up and there's craft service on your lawn?
You're like, whoops.
Too much.
So I was happy to do it. I actually have a bit about that now. It's about how like 90% of male behavior is to get an erection later.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're trying to big ourselves up that we're like, I'm that kind of guy.
Yeah.
I was like, we don't want to listen to Kid Rock and wear wraparound Oakleys. We're trying to get momentum going.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it's vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I won't do the whole bit, but there's a part where I'm like, we know you like foreplay, but he's here.
Yeah.
The dick is here now.
The dick is here.
And we have to sheathe it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he might leave.
Yes.
Like, it's so fragile. It's like strong, weak. And I talk about how, like, I've lost my erection because the dog came in and looked at me funny.
Yeah.
And I was like, so we're not doing it because we're assholes. We're doing it because we're cowards.
It's a fear of it leaving. A fear of a loss.
And then the big turn at the end is very much in line with poop talk. As I go, even this bit. Me doing this bit is to get an erection later.
Yeah.
And then I mime fucking there and I go, remember how vulnerable I was? Remember how I shared my insecurities with strangers?
Look at how huge I am now.
We are, I want to put this line in it. I go, when a guy pays for your dinner, don't feel bad. Feel bad for him. Like, he's
that's something
coward.
He needs.
He needs to do it that. Because he's like, I bought the dinner.
It's a brick in the wall.
And then the blood will flow to my ding-a-ling.
That's
like,
the way
we
it goes.
Are shells of people.
And we need so many things to be in place.
And the older you get, the heart, like, the more things can fuck it up and
totally,
ruin it.
Of course.
So you can't have this
it's
thing.
Like
a song could come on that makes me think of my father. I can't handle Mike and the Mechanics
no.
right now.
No.
Say it loud.
I went to a different song. I went, how long can this be going on? That was actually Ace, but same
singer. Part of the joke that I'm not comfortable doing because I don't want to represent women, but I feel like women are strong and they pretend to be weak. That's what high heels are. Mm-hmm. They're like, I can't flee. Click, 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 click. Yeah. I'm just a deer.
Yeah.
I'm a wounded deer.
But have you ever worn high heels for anything? I wore it in a movie once, and it is like, you have to be the strongest person in the world just to wear them.
That's what I'm saying. So they are obviously super strong. They birth life and they're, you know, they flow. They're intuitive. They have all this beautiful wisdom and strength, but they pretend because it's cultural to be like,
I need your help.
I fell and Dracula's after me. Mm-hmm. And man, we're in the shit too because we're complex people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have feelings and we have up days and down days, but we get it steam cleaned out and we're just supposed to, like you said, Tom Selleck. When I saw Tom Selleck, I was like, fuck, that's what
dude.
I'm supposed to be.
That's the dude I need to be.
Smelled like leather and pipe smoke.
That's right.
But that's not who I am. I'm the guy that buys dinner because I'm like, for my wee wee.
Yeah.
I straight up tell Val, I go, when we were dating, I was like, please, I need to pay for this. I'm doing this because I need to feel like a big shot because my anatomy needs me to spin plates and be like, big shot, big shot,
that's right.
big shot.
That's
I wish I was strong enough to let a woman paid for dinner for me and still get a big old rubbery boner.
It should never be, and it is always
but it's not as easy when you're dating.
It should never be like a championship run in the NCAA tournament for like a 10th seed. The idea being that like you need everything to go right and all the, you can't be shooting a low percentage. You've got to make sure that you're.
Like the blue chip teams can have bad nights and still win.
Right.
You like us, you need
everything happening.
Dan is, of course, in the other camp. And that just can't help but get annoyed.
Well, there are fellas that are of different grit than
for sure.
And but I manufacture my grit by admitting my weakness.
Yep. Some guys need, in order to get the erection, need to get into a cereal fight, and I brought it back to this.
You did, but I will say one last thing. Pete will get an erection watching this movie because he's super vulnerable and he lays it out there. And
Watch this movie. You'll love this.
We did a Batman sketch. I think this is so funny. I did these Batman videos, and one of them was about sex. And it's a line that no one ever quotes. I'm not even sure it's in there. Mm-hmm. But Batman says to Talia al Ghul, his love interest in the movie, he goes, sometimes the sexiest thing a woman can do is forgive. And that joke is everything I stand for. Yeah. I'm like, that is comedy
that's
to me. Because the number of times I've lost my boner and Val's been like, it's okay. And then I immediately have a boner. We are cowards.
That's it. But like,
she just goes, it's fine. And I'm like, I'm back.
Hey, we're back in the game, guys.
It's a little, and that sounds like a good, like we usually think women play games like that. Men do too, or we have needs that are emotional like that, where it's like, you love me even if I fail?
Yeah.
You do? Ring a ding ding! I'm like, humping the air.
You literally are like Don Ameche and the other old guy in Coming to America. Like she just gave, like Eddie Murphy just gave you the money, and you're like, we're back in it.
That's
Randall, we're back.
Funny.
Randall,
we're back.
Take it, what we can do. Is forgive.
I'm going to do it in the voice next time, Ben Al and I.
Please.
You want to do a third one?
Let's do it.
Here we go. Sent in by Bill LaTourette. I'm sorry, Biff LaTourette.
Biff LaTourette.
Biff LaTourette. Changes things.
Yes. Bill LaTourette would have been ridiculous.
BiffLaTourette.
I want you to shout out that his last name. I just want you to shout it out quickly.
LaTourette.
Okay. Continue.
I get it. An Alabama man.
Okay, like involuntarily?
Yes, involuntarily.
That was better.
No, I liked it.
I liked yours.
I knew we were all going to make a Tourette's joke at some point.
An Alabama man allegedly beat his roommate after discovering...
I was hoping for at checkers. Why is it got to be a violent thing?
After discovering that the victim had failed to properly seal a box of Cap'n Crunch cereal, which had gone stale.
Thanks for saying Cap'n. He's not a captain.
He is a Cap'n.
He is a Cap'n. Don't upgrade his status just because you're not in the...
I just have three words to say. Check the epaulets.
It's General Mills. It's Cap'n Crunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Always keep them below the manufacturer.
If you're fighting...
That did work extremely well.
That's great. I love
if you're fighting with your roommate over stale cereal, you're fighting over a lot of other things.
Oh, yeah.
It's not about
something,
cereal.
It's like Chinese beginning. Water torture. Something has been nagging you all goddamn day. That's maybe a nose that whistles on the exhale.
Right. A soup slurper.
Just a loud breather, a mouth breather.
Every time you come home, you have different working shifts. There's a bowl on the coffee table.
This is
peanut butter on the spoon.
You're making me want to beat them.
Okay, there are my things that my kids do. Like, I'll just find shoes everywhere. I'm like, that's not where the shoes go.
No.
I don't want to be tripping over you.
Why must it look like the Rapture in here?
Yes. Exactly.
That you were taken up mid-run.
Oh, I didn't realize you guys were following the Mayan calendar. This is all happening now.
Dwayne Barry Smith was arrested Friday for domestic violence.
His middle name is Barry?
Barry.
Oops, all crunch berries.
Frankenberry?
Frankenberry Smith.
DBS. Dibs.
Dibs.
Dibs. Was arrested Friday for domestic violence following a confrontation with the man he shares a residence with in Moundville, a town outside Tuscaloosa.
Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
According to police, the victim said that Smith became upset upon discovering the stale cereal and blamed him for failing to keep the Cap'n Crunch fresh.
You said Cap'n Crunch?
Cap'n Crunch.
I did, but we'll edit it out.
Like the filthy talk of Cap'n.
Cap'n Crunch.
I hate when people use that word in a sexy way. It happens in The Departed where he goes, "It was never hard for me to get cunt." I was like, "Yo!"
Like I bought the rat on the railing more than I bought the
I prefer the rat on the railing. First viewing. How did you know it was coming?
I was like,
you're at the premiere.
Nobody. The person who knew that.
Yeah, he
was in the middle of the movie. Like, he kills him in the room. Sorry, I'm spoiler alert.
It's Wahlberg.
Yeah. Wahlberg kills Matt Damon, and you're like, yay! Then rat. Boo. Yeah.
But then I've spent time thinking about it. I'm like, is it good?
I mean,
The Departed?
Yeah. That moment.
Oh, no.
By the way, there's a lot of good in that movie. There's a lot of good in that movie.
Alec Baldwin.
The rat on the railing.
It's not a good movie. Somebody had to pull him. Do you think they did one take without the rat?
Yes.
Of course.
Yes. You think so?
Yes. I'm sure they were like...
And they tested it.
Yes. That rat on the railing shows you how much people didn't want to contradict
Scorsese. Would you like Scorsese?
So we're going to do the rat on the... Yep. Are we really... Like, you know people are like, we really...
Because we don't have to.
We don't have to do it.
Why don't we do one without?
Yeah. And then we'll do one with, and then we'll see, knowing, like, the editor's like, I'm going to show him the one without, and let's see if he notices.
Yeah, but Marty gets cut. Marty gets cut. I wonder if that's, like, a jargon in, like, studio notes. Like, this is our...
The editor's like, this is just the assembly, but I love it. Like, that's what the editor kept saying. Like, I love it. It's just the assembly.
Right.
But he left it out, or she left it out. To me, that would be my phrase from here on out when we're going to do something that's obvious.
This is the rat on the railing.
Are we going to put the rat on the railing on this one, or what? What?
That is, it's like jump the shark.
Yeah, we're putting the rat on the railing.
I don't want to be a rat on the railing here, but it's better than jump the shark.
But we need some rain here in Los Angeles, am I right?
Jump the shark it's cumbersome in the mouth. Rat on a railing. Comes out like a sneeze. It's effortless.
Rat on a railing sounds like a Grateful Dead lyric from like 1970. Rat on a railing. Dog on a limb.
Dwayne Barry Smith was especially pissed because he is missing teeth and had difficulty consuming the stale cereal.
Okay, so now we're into medical reasons.
At one point, Dwayne Barry Smith...
I'm now on his side.
Dwayne Barry Smith demanded that his roommate remove his dentures so he could experience how hard it was to consume the Cap'n Crunch. So
okay,
I hear that. These are old guys who are living together. Like, that's, we know that now about these
dentures. This is like a straight-up cane fight.
If you're still or eating Cap'n Crunch...
Meth fight.
In your late right. 70s.
Yeah.
No, but this might be 30s.
This might be 30s meth fight.
Like this might be 30s dentures. Yeah. It is Tuscaloosa.
Part of me wants it to be young people. So, part of me doesn't.
Which of these two guys voted for Doug Jones? That's what I want to know.
Which of these two guys voted?
This guy should be drinking smoothies.
So Dwayne Barry Smith gets pissed because he's missing teeth, so it hurts to chew stale cereal. So
he says, you take your dentures out of your mouth and you experience what
which
it feels
expect,
like.
The guy who already didn't care about your goddamn cereal is going to be like, yeah, all right, let me completely empathize with you. Yeah.
I mean, I heard that he didn't have teeth, and my first thought was, close the damn box.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sure. I'm just saying, like, close it up.
When the man refused, Dwayne Barry Smith allegedly began striking the victim with an electrical cord. That's when you grab whatever's near.
Yeah, that's Jason Bourne right there.
Also, talk about like a flaccid weapon. Like, you want to come hard, and then it's
a whip with a. Why aren't there more?
Indiana Jones with an extension cord would have worked fine.
Totally would have worked completely.
Yes. I'll plug this in. Also, Cap'n Crunch, a terrible choice for somebody with a sensitive and mouth.
Absolutely.
What was your second choice? Grape nuts? Yeah, dude, move to the flake-based cereals.
Yep. Tricks.
Kicks and Tricks would have helped you out.
Oh my God.
Kicks and Tricks themselves are like tiny balls of fiberglass. Those aren't good.
I've insulated my third floor with Kicks.
It's been so many years since I had cereal.
Silly Pete. Kicks are for
off it.
Dig into a big bowl. I used to eat it by like the mixing bowl.
God,
my kids eat Lucky Charms once in a while. We give them Lucky Charms. And they just pick out all the charms, and then they won't eat the other cereal. So I'm like, you just are eating. No, it's like marshmallow, and it's like pure sugar.
You can do all mallow. You know they have that.
What?
Like Lucky Charms marshmallows? Just the marshmallows.
Oh, God.
No.
Yes.
Where? What special order? Vending
you can like special order on the
what
internet.
What stepdad buys came up that with that for their one? Kids? Yeah.
They're going to like me, Diane.
You have your time with them, and we have what we call lucky time.
Don't harsh the mellow.
Your mom's a no-leaf clover.
Let's end it here. How old is Dwayne Barry Smith?
Okay, so now this could be misleading.
I had a talk show on DBS. Yeah.
His roommate could
you did.
His roommate DBS. Could be super old.
Yeah. His roommate could be super old, and he could be old. There are dentures.
If he's old and he's saying, you take your teeth out. Oh, you won't? Give me that three-prong.
Can I borrow your extension cord for a second?
If he did it calmly, that's even funnier.
Where's that... just even searching for it. Where is the...
what are you looking for?
We're
out of cereal. If you want more cereal, we don't have more cereal.
The extension cord so I can beat your ass with it.
Oh!
It's in the pantry.
Beating someone with an extension cord, to me,
that's a
Scorsese 1979.
It's when you don't like it.
Yeah.
You'd rather it be a machete or something.
Come on, man. Stop hitting me with that.
I bet it hurts
really bad, especially the plug at the end or the prongs. Thing at the... Yeah. The prongs or the thing. All right, so he beats someone.
It's a crime of passion.
All right, so do you want to go first, second, or third on this?
How when old you're guessing is how old.
I've always gone first, so I'm going to go third.
Okay, Jake, go ahead.
I think he's 36.
36 years old? Yes, missing meth. Some teeth, living with an
special,
old guy.
I just saw a special on meth in the South on this meth town. It was on, I guess, Netflix or I'm not sure.
Methflix.
Methflix. It was on HBO.
So addicting.
I pointed at Pete like he's HBO. It was on you. It was on HBO.
I do have a feed of HBO on my back.
Okay, he does.
Like those t-shirts you buy at
meth
kiosks.
Town, and it was down. Love it. And it was down in Alabama, so I think he's 36 years old.
36, I think Randy. This guy is 61.
61 yep. years old.
For is me. Your guess so low that it's racist? White, towards Alabama.
Towards white people,
yeah.
Yes.
So it's fine.
Yes.
It's fine.
So yes. To me, this feels like the fight that Robert Durst had with, you know what I mean, with the guy when they wrestled with the thing.
You're lucky you didn't end up in bags.
That's
floating.
Right. Thank God my head was found still. Okay, so I say 61.
61, wow. I'm going to 36. I'm going to say...
Sometimes it's bad to have more knowledge. You know
I'm
what I mean?
Like, say this man is 29.
Oh, that's so bold. I love it.
Dwayne Barry Smith. who solves problems with an electrical cord because he's a jerk and doesn't like stale Cap'n Crunch is, play along at home, everybody, 52 years old.
52. Oh,
barely. Barely, by the way. Barely. Yeah, 52. But he probably looks like he's 71.
52 in meth years is 71.
That is right. As mentioned before, as we just mentioned, we mentioned Robert Durst, and you know, a lot of people don't know, but we have a pipeline to Robert Durst.
He sometimes calls into the show.
He somehow finds out before an episode is released.
That's kind what of money like, gives you. That's what money...
Money allows you to listen in and hear that we are talking about him, and then he sometimes wants to comment on it. So as mentioned, and we mentioned him before, we mentioned him just now, we mentioned him on the show, and he has this crazy sixth sense. I don't know if you watched The Jinx.
He did. He knew who Robert
Durst was. Yeah, of course. The Jinx, he is kind of, he knows.
I love that you said, I don't know if you watched it, and he did like a detail about putting things in trash
bags. Floating bags.
I don't know if you, well, maybe he just read the transcripts.
No.
Okay,
no.
So maybe he just followed Durst. But Durst kind of knows what's going on before it's about to happen. He's had an eerie sense about him, and so he actually found out that we were talking about him literally 2 minutes ago, and he is at the studio right now. And if you could get up and let Robert Durst in for a quick second.
Hi, boys.
Hey, Bob. Oh. Yep, you can stay.
Fellow HBO star.
No, I don't want to be known like that.
Do you want to be roped in with him?
A couple of guys going around New York.
No.
Stop.
He did not murder his ex-wife.
I didn't murder anybody.
Who does?
You did.
Pete isn't even killing on stage in the show.
I know.
I'm not killing anywhere.
You were mic'd in the bathroom.
Who hasn't been mic'd?
A lot of people haven't been mic'd in a bathroom.
You admitted that you did a murder.
Your wife left you. My wife left
She
didn't leave you. She disappeared. His wife is still findable.
She left. Just like Pete and I are very similar.
No, you guys are not at all.
I can't stress that enough. You murdered your roommate?
Pete knows how to properly spell the word Beverly.
I know how to write Beverly.
That was self-defense.
No.
And then he told me if he ever forced me to kill him, he wanted his remains. He might have meant ashes. I took it as chunks thrown in the Galveston.
You thought he meant chunks?
I mean, it's more, you could see where he goes. Then.
No, you don't.
Wait,
want
you to, meant to float the bags like fucked up goldfish from the carnival?
Yeah.
No, I who knows who does anything?
Speaking of chunks, are you going to go see our poop doc, which opens this weekend and Pete's in it?
Who's in it?
Or last weekend. It's already up. Pete Holmes is in it.
To be in it.
No, you're not in it. It's already
you're
out.
Not in it.
Pete knows from running the circuit of promoting a show that you're very busy. I'm looking for season 2.
Of The Jinx?
Of The Jinx.
Are you planning on murdering more people?
No, but I would like...
Yours is a docuseries. Yes. It's different.
Season 2 doesn't...
Look at my wardrobe. You think that was a documentary? That's high-level production.
Okay, fine.
Those weren't there even was a my wardrobe.
Okay, fine. All right, so are you going to say
there's wardrobe?
Look, what I'm saying is there's a season
look
2.
Look at my wardrobe!
There's a season 2 as long as Douglas is still alive. That's all I'm going to say.
That's why I'm here. Pete, you're around. I've seen on the show.
He's
you're
in New York.
You're paper. Yep. You're
yes.
asking.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. If you see Douglas, would you be willing to text me and say, here's where Douglas
Pete,
is?
Pete,
you don't
want to
be in a
success.
No, definitely I won't text you.
Yeah,
don't tell him where Douglas
Pete,
is.
Do you have a brother?
I don't want to talk about my family with you. I don't want you to know.
If you wanted your brother to... not bother you anymore.
Stop it.
Pete gets it. His show
He doesn't get it. Our shows are different. Mine is a comedy. It's half
Mine
hour. It's
hilarious.
Scripted.
Yours
it's not hilarious.
Not funny. You didn't think I was funny walking around the city with a backpack like a lost 9-year-old and then I couldn't get into a building I owned.
Okay, that is kind of
that
similar.
That was similar to Dunstan Checks In.
No, they wanted him out, but
they couldn't get him out.
It's a
buddy comedy.
No,
really.
It's not. Okay, it's not. Can we please show Robert Durst the door here?
I get my mic off.
Okay, your mic is off.
Wait, what was your name again?
Robert Durst.
Jinx.
Buy me a Coke.
You owe me a Coke.
So we're going to let him get out of here. Right, so go ahead.
Try and jinx me. I'll get him for that.
No.
Oh, no.
We can still hear you. Everyone can still hear you. Literally saying it on mic. You just said, try to jinx me. I'll get him back.
Like one good jinx deserves another.
Get out of here.
Okay. Get him out. That was a threat. You left and you forgot that you're still Mike.
That's it. He knows what a threat is.
Wait, we can still hear everything.
Robert! Stop. We hear everything you're saying.
Okay. Robert. All right. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye, Mommy. Okay. All right. Let's get Dan back in it. Jesus.
Hey, guys.
Oh my God. Dan. All right. Thank God.
I could have used one more him threatening me.
That was hilarious. Was a lot.
The show is crashing. It's on HBO, and I want you guys to watch all of it. The movie is called Poop Talk, and Pete Holmes is fantastic.
It's in theaters now, and VOD, which stands for Video On Demand, Pete and I learned today.
iTunes, Amazon, all that stuff. Support us. Support this, and watch Pete Holmes be great in this movie.
iTunes stands for Internet Tunes.
Yes, it does. I did not know that.
It does. It's Internet Tunes.
And, oh, shit, we got to get back to work.
It's a good show.